podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. To frame this message or this series, I want to take you back to the year 1853. This is the story of a man named Charles Frederick Gerhardt. And this man invented a chemical substance called sodium salicylate with acetyl chloride. And this was supposed to be a pain reliever, something that you took as a powder. And if you took this, it healed you in some way and alleviated you of the pain. By the year 1897, a German company picked up the chemical and developed a way to synthesize it better. 2 years thereafter, this company turned it into a pill. And this pill became a compound that was just joined together so that you didn't have to measure it with a spoon. You can actually take the right dosage by taking X number of pills. The name of that company was Bayer, and the product was aspirin. And aspirin became a very popular product that it was shipped all over the place, all over Europe and all over the world. But it had a problem because the little tablet would disintegrate because it would shake inside the bottle. As a result of that, Bayer put a cotton ball on top of the bottle. If you've ever wondered why your drugs have a cotton ball on top, it's not to keep the dust out. Amen? It was because for years, hundreds of years, the Bayer company had put that so it doesn't shake. Now, after several years, the 1950s, the late 50s, Bayer invented yet another compound, this time an ability to wrap and encase the tablets in a way that they don't jiggle and break, and at the same time, it kept the dirt out from the tablets. In other words, Bayer got rid of the cotton balls while everybody else kept it because they didn't really know why it was there in the first place. Christmas can be like that, where people celebrate it and do all sorts of things with it without really understanding why they're doing it. They add all sorts of things and flavors to the mix and losing the purity and the essence of the value, thus resulting in a Christmas of cotton balls rather than realizing the real reason why you're celebrating what you're celebrating. Question for us this morning is, what are you celebrating? Or another question would be, why Christmas? Why do we even celebrate it? My text this morning is out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The first part of that verse says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders." Or in his shoulder, it says. Now, this is a prophecy by a man named Isaiah. Isaiah spoke these words. And he said, a child is born, a child of a king was to come. He declared that this child was to be given, a son was to be given, and this was almost like a pronouncement of someone who was from God. Now notice where it says, and the government shall be on his shoulder. I'm sure as believers you have received a Christmas card of sorts that had this greeting. If you've ever wondered, what in the world were they talking about? Government. What has government got to do with Christmas? And yet, at the very heart and soul of Christmas is this idea of government. If we're to celebrate Christmas properly, we need to understand what that cotton ball is all about. Why do we need it, or why don't we need it? The word government is best illustrated by a picture of a tiger in a cage. If you want to think about government, that would be a tiger that had this thing in the cage. And how many of you know if you saw a tiger in a cage, you could coochie-coochie-coo the tiger, even come close to it or throw it some food, or maybe if you're brave enough, even stick your hand out. But how many of you know if the tiger was not in the cage, it's a different story. Government. There's such a thing as external government, or something that governs us from the outside, and there's something that's called internal government. Christmas is really about this sense of internal governance, the ability to stop because there's something inside of you that stops you, or something inside of you that's greater value that causes you to do so. A tiger in a cage has external government. Remove that cage and that tiger will eat bochan, amen? Because that's the way it is. Christmas is the coming of God into our hearts, in order for us to learn, as children do. I was watching my son's video last night of how he was exerting external government on his one-year-old son, because that external government hopefully one day becomes a form of internal government. Our lives are both internal and external. Governance does not stop with just this idea of internal and external. It also extends in this idea of being going in the right direction, almost like a car. If you were to envision your life as a journey, the journey is for naught if you are headed in the wrong direction. Government, therefore, is heading our lives in the right direction, which is why a car has a steering wheel. The issue of a car, actually, is not about the car and the steering wheel per se. It's about who's driving. It's not about just the government, but who is the governor and who controls the governor. Further, when you look at a car, our lives have limited spans. We've got limited resources. The use of these resources are so important in order for us to govern our lives properly. Now notice, the second half of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, four qualities of this government. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to touch on each of these. But today, we want to simply look at this idea of a wonderful counselor. The word wonderful is the Hebrew word pele. Nothing to do with the soccer player, but he is wonderful. Amen? Pele simply means miraculous or marvelous or wonderful. And this is the counsel of Jesus. Marvelous, wonderful, miraculous. I want to show you a short video. When I think about counsel, and I think about people who give their counsel, I want to show you a short video, and then I'll be back shortly. This video is about a pastor, and he's giving instructions to his staff. He's trying to tell his staff how to build teamwork, and watch the wonderful counsel of this man, and I'll be back.
Exercise and building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in, and we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. So I'm going to count to three. Just relax and fall. Okay, one, two, three. No, wait, no, no.
Counsel is extremely important. The direction you're heading to is extremely important. I like this video because, one, the pastor had enough sense to make sure he got the skinniest one up there. The second reason why I like this video is because it's a pastor. In other words, you and I need to be careful who we listen to. Mindlessness, whether we're Christians or not, is not wonderful counsel. One of the most important faculties you're going to need to have is the ability to hear from God. Because a pastor may be saying something that's true, but for your season in life, it might not be the wonderful counsel for you. Which is why when you hear someone tell you something, you don't necessarily take it hook, line, and sinker, but you need the Holy Spirit, and that's the wonderful counsel of God. It's not just all truth, folks. It's true that someone might catch you, but they might not be in the right place. Today, we seek counsel from everything from people who have a lot of following, and they may be a very popular pastor that has a million followers. Be careful that you don't just mindlessly accept what they say, but you actually have an ability to meditate on the Word of God and know that you've heard from God. Be careful about the most popular life hacks. They might work for a season of time, and be careful just because people often said, it resonates with me. Yes, sure, it does, but is it the wise counsel? What is the miraculous, wonderful counsel of Jesus? First, it's proven. It's proven over centuries. It's proven over time. It's proven it works. It's proven, most importantly, in the lives of the people who have learned to follow him. When Mary got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she was really left with three options. Option number one was to allow Joseph to quietly divorce her. Option number two was to go public and potentially get stoned to death because that was the rule of the day. Option number three was to quietly disappear and be a single parent for the rest of her life. Those were the options. But the amazing thing about the wonderful counsel of God is he has unlimited options. He has options and abilities that you don't know even exists, which is why we need to tap into him and not just go by the popular, the thing that has X number of likes, the thing that everybody seems to be sharing and talking about, rather than seeking God and saying, God, I need your wonderful counsel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom." Think about this. If there was anything as the foolishness of God, the least of God's wisdom is even wiser than all of man's wisdom put together. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Why do we want to seek Jesus? His wisdom. But those that God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. I had the privilege of dining with a young lady from our church last week. And I've always known her to be in this church, and she's Filipina, and I never had a chance to eat with her. And I sat there, and probably for about an hour, I was mesmerized by her story. She moved to Singapore when she was 14 years old, didn't know anybody, didn't have any lot of connections, in a foreign country by herself, studying in high school. And as I listened to what she was saying, the resounding blessing of God on her life was so amazing, the wisdom. I was listening to her, and I in fact, for most of the time, I was just imbibing all that she was saying. I was listening to how God had protected her and how God had provided for her and how God constantly purified her. The wonderful counsel of God is such that really it may be a non-entity that you see. It may not have a lot of following. It may not be the most famous of all. But through time, it always proves itself. It always has the track record. It always has the way of ending up in the right place and you landing on your two feet. The second part of God's miraculous, wonderful counsel is it's not just that it's proven and its track record is actually rather sacred. That word simply means holy, separate, one of a kind, something that's attributed to God. That's what it means. It's not just something that's proven. There's a lot of wisdom that's proven, but this wisdom is something that's attributed to God. It's sacred. Probably the best way to talk about this would be the story of the Magi. Ever wondered where that word Magi came from? It actually is the short for the word magician. Magicians in those times, magician, magi. The magicians at the time were not magicians today. We were at the gardens by the bay, and there was a magician. Not that kind of magician, amen? These were supposed to be wise men. They made potions. They made the aspirins of their day. They looked at the stars, and they would read the stars. And these guys were from the east, most likely from Babylon. And as we've seen, Isaiah prophesied this prophecy in Isaiah 9, and these guys, in all likelihood, heard that prophecy, and for years, they kept waiting and waiting and waiting and searching the stars and looking for this star that was supposed to come. It's prophecy. And they finally saw it. They started following the star. This counsel of this wisdom that was beyond their own abilities, it was sacred, led them to Jerusalem. There they met a king named Herod. And they inquired of the child, and finally that counsel guided them and said, "Don't go back to that king. It's not the wisest thing to do." They ended up in a stable. As they followed the star and exceeding joy led them, the scriptures tell us that going to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him. They knew enough to know that this child was not just an ordinary child, but that he was God. Opening their treasures. Everybody say treasures. These gifts were not just, by the way, if some of you have heard of three kings. The probability is there were not three kings. There were probably a bunch of wise men, and they were in all likelihood escorted by a small contingent of an army. They were wealthy men, and they were traveling with treasures. Treasures, the Bible says, of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And let me just walk you through why these are so valuable. Gold is obviously the gift that you give to kings. Frankincense was a substance taken from a particular kind of tree that was hard to come by. And you had to gather this thing, and this was expensive. And myrrh was expensive. It was a kind of ointment, a kind of potion. The practical side of it, the proven track record side of it, was this was supposed to fund the ministry of Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? That a child born in a stable with no money, no pedigree, no connections, was being funded right here. But the more important part of this gift was that gold was really a gift that was fit for a king. It was a symbol that this child was sacred. That he wasn't just a king, but frankincense was an expensive substance that people used to burn in order to worship gods. That this child was not just a king, that he was actually God. And myrrh, we see in the chronicle of the book of Luke and Matthew, and yet in the book of Mark, shows up at the death of Jesus. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, this ointment to heal his broken body and to, at some point, embalm him. And he refused it. Because myrrh was not just an ordinary substance. It was a sacred substance that said this was the king who is really God and who will die to save the people of earth. This is the wisdom of God. It's not just proven. It's not just good for you. It's sacred. The final point I want to make this morning is the word transcendent. The wisdom of God transcends human philosophy. The wisdom of God transcends time and space. The wisdom of God transcends everything that you may even think as natural and normal and goes beyond your human capacities and abilities. That's the wisdom of God. I was thinking about how to illustrate this, and I thought about the Wright brothers. 100 years ago, these two boys who were children of sons of a pastor had this dream of flying. At that moment in junction in history, when they said they were going to fly, this idea of flying at that moment, at that space in time, was not even possible. If you had gone to Magellan or Christopher Columbus and said, you know, one day you're going to board this metal capsule with two wings. It will carry 200 people in it. Amen? It'll travel across the Atlantic, and if it will even carry luggage. And if it was filled with Filipinos, it'll be a lot of luggage. And it could go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And you'd be there within hours, not within months. The people of that time could not transcend that because the wisdom was limited. And as transcendent as you and I think we are because we can see this, it's hard to transcend that one day there will be more robots and there will be humans. And it's even harder to transcend that one day, as Jesus promised, while this decaying body will die, it will resurrect into newness of life. Able not to fly because of a plane, but able to fly because it will be a spiritual body. The wisdom of God is transcendent. So transcendent that a child born in a stable doesn't make sense. The people of Jerusalem could not understand, how in the world could that guy be king? He's born in a stable. His bed is a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough. It's where bulls eat. It's where donkeys spit. It's where bacteria laid, and all the dirt, all the stink, and all the filth is all in there. It didn't make sense at that moment in time. Same way that sometimes through Christmas, what makes sense is spend more money, buy more gifts, do the holidays. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. The same way that there is nothing wrong with cotton balls. But you have a choice. Have a cotton ball Christmas or have the best of Christmas. Focus back on the fact that this transcendent God came to earth, became a human being and a baby. Laid in a manger, if you ever think of the word manger, it's a very unfamiliar term, but today is world famous, amen? It's world famous not because it has any greater thing than the fact that Jesus laid on it. And that is my story and your story, isn't it? Jesus laid his life to the stinky, infested, ugly, dirty me could be saved. This is Christmas, folks. The government of God in our hearts and us willingly receiving it because we understand He is a wonderful counselor. That His ways are proven, that His counsel is sacred, and above that, they're transcendent. They journey through time and eternity, and it's worth laying our lives down forever. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Just close your eyes, bow your heads, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Just be still for a while. Father, thank you for your holy word. Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. Could you look up here for a minute? I remember many, many years ago, I was trying to imagine what, this was when my oldest son was about to leave our home. He was about to get married. And I remember I was walking and I was thinking about what Christmas Eve would have looked like in heaven. When the father was packing the bags of the son. This was so real to me that this was my oldest son. He's about to leave my house. And I don't know what's going to happen to him. And the emotion of that of, will he make it? Will he survive? And I wonder what the father was thinking when he was packing the bags of Jesus. The emotion of knowing the heir apparent to the thrones of heaven would come down and take bodily form and allow himself to be scourged and murdered for our sins. I pray that in this holiday season you'll find it space and time to celebrate Christmas for what it is. Amen? Just close your eyes. Lay your hands in your hearts this morning. Father, seal this truth in each of our hearts. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your wonderful counsel. Thank you that they're proven. Show us, God, how sacred they are. And God, we receive it by faith. God, even today, Lord, you will teach us to celebrate Christmas in a manner that's fitting for your purpose.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.